1 Corinthians 15. So let's just review quick what we covered last week. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. And gospel means good news. The gospel I preached to you, which you received, which means you believed on it. You received the good news of the gospel, and on which you have taken your stand. And by this gospel, you are saved. So the gospel, you heard someone preach it to you. You received it. You believed it. You took your stand on it and said, I believe that. I receive it and I believe it. And that is what saves you. What is the gospel? Verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. And that's what we're going to celebrate here, the Lord's Supper, that Christ died for us according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the good news. And then after he rose from the dead, we talked about in verse 5, all the appearances that he made. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to 500 brothers at the same time. And then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And then he appeared to the apostle Paul. And then all of a sudden, here's what's interesting. So we're going to pick up now. Is there are people in the Corinthian church that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And it's hard to believe that people can go to church and not believe that. So I went on the internet this week and I wanted to look up like how many preachers don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And I found a survey. Survey done by Pulpit Helps surveyed 7,441 Protestant pastors. Of those, this is the percent of those who don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. 51% of the Methodists, 35% of the Presbyterians, 30% of the Episcopalians, and 33% of the American Baptists did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's just amazing to me. We're talking about preachers who don't believe that in the resurrection and don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm thinking, wow, that's this liberal world today. I can't, you know, it's so amazing. But actually, it started back in the Corinthian church. There were people who said, we don't believe in the resurrection. And so Paul is going to give, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then there are seven truths that follow from that, if that's what you want to believe. So verse 12. So let's go over the seven sad pieces of information if there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Here's number one. Sad truth. Verse 13. If there's no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And of course, one third of the preachers would say, amen, that's correct. Christ hasn't even been raised from the dead. Well, that's kind of sad news, isn't it? That means he's dead. He's in the tomb. His body's gone. It'd be very like disappointing for all of what we believe in the Bible. Back in those days, they would build these big arches. And at the top of the arch, there's a special stone. Does anyone know what that stone is called? It is the keystone, and that's what holds, like, in a sense, the arch together. If you remove the keystone, like, the arch crumbles. Well, the resurrection of Jesus is the keystone of the whole Bible. And if you remove, if you say that there is no resurrection and Christ hasn't resurrected and remove the keystone, the whole Old Testament, New Testament just collapses in, you know, in it means nothing. And so there were some, so if there's no resurrection of the dead, even Christ hasn't been resurrected. Number two, second truth, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Going to church and hearing preachers preach is useless. Why even go to church? Why even listen to preachers? Noah, you wasted your time preaching 120 years for righteousness. And Moses, you wasted your time preaching. And all the apostles and all the godly men who have been preaching through the years, D.L. Moody and John Wesley, Billy Graham, you know, all of us have been wasting, we've been wasting our time going to church and listening to any sermons. If Christ, if there's no resurrection and Christ hasn't risen from the dead, we've been wasting our time every Sunday coming to church. In fact, there's only one message that a preacher can preach if he doesn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And that's in verse 32. Here's the one message that you could preach if you didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Verse 32, Paul says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, he fought wild beasts because they threw him into the wild beast, being a Christian, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, here is the one message we could preach. Let us what? Eat, drink, and often we add, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The reason why we add eat, drink, and be merry is this verse is out of Isaiah, and the drinking is specifically talking about alcohol, okay? So Paul is basically saying, you know, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then let's go to Longhorns and let's get drunk and high and have fun because tomorrow we die. Everyone with me? That's and in fact, I almost think it is the message of the world. And TV, like the message of TV is do whatever you want. Get drunk, follow whatever your heart leads you, no matter how sinful. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then live it up, steal, rob, lie, cheat, jump into bed with everyone, because when you're dead and it's all over anyway. And I really think that the TV like almost pushes that. So if there's no resurrection of the dead, Christ hasn't even risen from the dead. Preaching is useless. Number three, verse 15. The third sad truth that there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 15, more than that, we are then found to be false, what? False witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. So Paul says, then all of us are liars who testified that God raised Jesus from the dead. We're all a bunch of liars. In fact, the biggest liar would be Jesus himself. Because Jesus said to the people, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect from the dead. Well, if he didn't resurrect from the dead, he's a liar. And we should not trust him and listen to anything he says if he lied about that. Jesus constantly said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again. They thought he was talking about the physical temple. He was talking about himself. But if he didn't resurrect from the dead, he was lying. Jesus said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then I will resurrect. But if he didn't resurrect, he's a liar. And if he didn't resurrect, then his disciples concocted a huge lie about his resurrection, which would make them false witnesses. And that's very interesting because one of the teachings of Jesus that he taught his disciples that I could show you in the Gospels is he told his disciples, do not bear false testimony to your neighbor. In other words, one of the commandments, do not lie. So for years, under the teaching of Jesus, the disciples were taught not to bear false testimony. It's one of the commandments. Do not lie. So it seems weird that the apostles would have neglected the very teaching of the one they followed in order to lie that they saw Jesus. Not only did the apostles lie, but the 500 brothers that saw Jesus, they lied too. And James lied, and the apostle Paul even lied about seeing Jesus. And in fact, most of us are liars. Because we all tell people that we know Jesus, that Jesus lives in our heart, that we walk with him, we hear his voice. And so all of us are liars. If indeed there is no resurrection, then Christ hasn't resurrected from the dead. And all of us that are saying Jesus is alive in our heart, we're all liars too. Fourth sad truth. If there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's an empty dream, what you have followed. You may as well follow. I was looking this week on reincarnation. Did anyone ever believe in reincarnation? I was reading. I was wondering. Someone was asking a question. How many times do you have to be reincarnated? And this one guru of resurrection says, well, in order to reach perfection, you must be reincarnated 10,000 times. I was like, 10,000. First of all, do you think the earth, if this is your first life, do you think the earth will survive you coming back 10,000 times before it gets destroyed? I'm thinking no one's ever going to make it. Okay. But Christian faith, if there is no resurrection, if Jesus didn't resurrect, then our faith is futile. It's an empty dream. And in verse 17, fifth sad truth, if there is no resurrection, not only is your faith futile, but you are still in your sins. You see, Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross to pay for your sins, and then I'm going to resurrect 3 days later. Well, wait a second. If Jesus lied about his resurrection and there is no resurrection of the dead, then how do we know he told the truth about dying on the cross for our sins? In fact, maybe if he's a liar about that, then there's no way he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so that's why he's dead, because God laughed and said, that didn't pay for the sins of mankind. Come to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Don't lose 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 1. Just so you understand how important the resurrection of Jesus is to the fact that what he said is true. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. So how is Jesus a descendant of David in his human nature? Because he's the son of who? Mary, okay? So God became man, okay. And verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be who? The Son of God by, how was it declared with power that he is the Son of God? By his what? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it is the resurrection that proves he is the Son of God. He was the one who died for our sins, that he was telling the truth. If he wasn't telling the truth, then he still would be dead. If he wasn't the Son of God, he still would be dead. But by his resurrection, the Holy Spirit says to all of us, he is the Son of God. The resurrection proves that everything he said was true, including dying for our sins. But ladies and gentlemen, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is dead. Preaching is futile. Your faith is futile. All the apostles and all of us are liars who say we know Jesus, and we still are in our sins, and we all have to go to hell and purgatory and still pay for our sins because Christ didn't pay for them if he's still dead. Number 6, 1 Corinthians, back in 1 Corinthians again. And this one is even sad. This is sad to me. If there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 18, the sixth sad truth. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are what? Are lost. Those Christians who have died before us are gone. They're lost. And that's sad to me. Because, like, I don't, how many of you have lost a child? Either premature birth or after they were born. How many have lost a child? So, okay. Isn't it sad to think if there is no resurrection of the dead, we are never going to see that child, okay? So we're looking forward to meeting our seventh child up in heaven, but if there is no resurrection, we don't get to meet our child ever again, and or never be with your family again. Maybe some of you lost spouses. You never get to see your spouse again. My grandmother, I loved my grandmother. This is my dad's. I loved all my grandparents, but the grandparents on my mom's side, you know, died somewhat earlier, but my dad's mother lived with us for a while, and I just loved, she's the one who taught me how to play pinochle, and she always worked me over. She loved watching Jeopardy. We would watch Jeopardy. And I feel bad. When I was in high school, she lived with us, and she would ask me to take her to church on Sunday when I could drive, and I was like, I'm not going to church. Are you crazy? You know, I feel bad that. But then I got saved in college, and I remember when she visited me before she went home, I remember her giving her heart to Jesus during one of the services I was preaching. So it was just, wow, I got to lead my grandmother to the Lord. But if there is no resurrection, I never get to see her again. And she was so much fun. In fact, if there is no resurrection, I think of all the hundreds of people that we know from other churches that I've pastored that, oh, I think of Sam Rocca. Sam Rocca was this guy in our last church that just was so much fun. We would all fight over getting Sam and Sally to the restaurants because he just jokes and humor. He had an arm that he would hang out of the trunk of his car. And just so people thought he, you know, threw someone in his trunk. And he had brain cancer and eventually he fought against it for years, but eventually took him. But when you meet Sam, you are going to love him. He just was a magnet. He was a magnet to kids in our church. And maybe it's because his pockets were full of candy. But anyway, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, you're never going to meet Sam and hundreds of others. Last, number 7, verse 19. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. It is so sad. If there is no resurrection, it is so sad what we have believed. We gave up earthly pleasures for heaven, and there is no heaven. We've sacrificed for the Lord and for heavenly rewards, and there's no heavenly rewards. Now, this is on the side. I didn't share this in the other two services. You know what? Even if I found out that was, I mean, I don't believe this, obviously, but even if there wasn't a heaven, I love being a Christian. I love being with the family of God. I mean, in the world, actually, if there is no resurrection, what can I preach to you? Eat, drink, and be merry. I was thinking, where's the world's church? Where does the world go to church? The bar. I was thinking, that's the world's church. Come and make friends. Wasn't there a show, Friends, at the bar? But I was thinking, it is so fake. There is nothing like the friends of Christian fellowship. But if there is no resurrection, we are to be pitied. Think about the millions of people today that are being persecuted for their faith. People laying down their lives because they believe in Jesus. People being arrested, thrown in jails, and all for nothing if there is no resurrection of the dead. It's we should be pitied. Christianity is the number one persecuted religion in the world, and it's like it's all for nothing if there's no resurrection of the dead. Well, I guess we should read the very next verse. Verse 20. I love this. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So, in fact, Christ isn't dead. He rose from the dead. Our preaching isn't futile. When you preach, I see the power of God to transform lives. And it's amazing to see marriages transformed and individuals transformed and just the newness that comes upon a person. And our faith isn't futile. It's living. It's real. We have a sure hope. And we are going to see our loved ones again in heaven. And we are not liars. The apostles were not liars bearing false witness. They actually did see Jesus as well as the 500 others. And so Christ is alive. In fact, this is such an important truth that turn to Romans chapter 10. And I'll close with this. Romans chapter 10. This truth about the resurrection of Jesus is so important. I'm going to show you how important it is. I know other theological truth is important. The virgin birth, that there's a heaven and a hell, that there's Satan and demons and there's angels and justification and sanctification and glorification and all this, all kinds of doctrinal truth. But I'm going to tell you, there is one very there's two very important truths that you need to know. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is what? Our Lord. So you need to be able to confess with your mouth that Jesus is not only Lord of the heavens, Lord of the earth, but that he is Lord of your heart, Lord of your life, that he is the Son of God, okay? That he is God, he is Lord, okay? So if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that, what do you have to believe in your heart? That God the Father, what? Raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe that God raised him from the dead and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So God has said, listen, this doctrine, this truth that Christ rose from the dead is so important. It is the keystone that there are two things you must do. I was talking to an Alliance pastor recently, and he believes, and it's a fairly large Alliance church in Western PA, he believes about 50% of his people are not Christians. So a nightmare for any pastor is for me to get to heaven and find out that some of you did not make it, and that I did not make it clear to you how to get to heaven. So I'm going to make it so crystal clear how you are saved. Number one, you got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, that you believe he is the Son of God, okay? And that he is Lord of your life. You open up your heart and go, Jesus, you are my Lord. You're my God. And the second thing is, you have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you are saved. Do you understand? These preachers, these 30% of preachers that don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, I'm like, when I meet them, I would love to go to their churches and say to their people, their congregations, you shouldn't be listening to this preacher. And they would probably go, why? I'm like, this preacher isn't even saved. He's not even going to heaven. And then they go, well, prove that. Read Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you cannot confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and they're denying that, they are not saved. Does everyone follow that? Can I make it any clearer for you? You must, it's a foundational truth that you have to, and I know people here might get mad and go, I love the moral teaching of Jesus. I think he was a good person and all, but I don't believe in that resurrection kind of stuff and all. I'm sorry, you're not saved. You must believe that he is the Son of God, that he is Lord, and that you believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And that is what saves your souls.